We are live in Boiling Springs at Wings Etc. on Highway 9. If you're coming up from the Spartanburg area from I-85, we'll be on the right. Look for the ESPN Upstate vehicle out front and our tent with prizes underneath. So come on up, and I think it's the prize wheel they've got. They've got a way for you to win.
It is the wheel.
All right.
I can see the wheel.
You can win some prizes from us and say hello and have a great lunch here at Wings Etc. They have their normal Great Friday lunch crowd in here, but there is room for you since we're now getting kind of out of the lunch hour here at 2 o'clock. So plenty of room to come on in and enjoy lunch with us here. We're out here until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Really good varied menu item. They named the place Wings Etc. for a reason, because it's more than just wings. They have all kinds of wings. And, you know, I want to try. I didn't do the wings at lunch because, you know, it's a little messy. I'm working with radio equipment. I didn't want to get that stuff all over the place here, all over the computers and all that stuff. But I want to try some of these wings because they have a variety of signature sauces, 19 of them, 19 sauces.
That's a lot of sauce.
Yeah, and, you know, they got from the hottest to the mildest, and the hottest is called Wall. I'm wondering what that means, Wall.
How do you spell it?
W-A-L-L. The second hottest is Suicide, so Wall is hotter than Suicide.
Huh.
Yeah. So I got to figure out what that Wall is all about. The third hottest is TNT. Now, I get that. So it's the Wall thing that's kind of throwing me off a little bit. I want to know.
You know what you should do? This is a wonderful promotional opportunity for at the end of our college football picks, the two losers have to go to the Wall.
They have to hit the Wall. Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's cool, since I'm winning by how many? Seven?
Six or seven.
Yeah.
That's probably seven.
Yeah. I'm down with that. I want you guys to suffer a little bit.
I don't think Richmond would show.
No, he probably wouldn't. That's probably true. Anyway, come on by. If you don't like wings, or if you're not in the mood for wings, they have tons of other things. Nachos, wraps, salads, burgers, sandwiches, ribs. Got it all out here at Wings Etc. And, of course, all your favorite beverages are here as well. And the flat-screen TVs all over the place to watch games. So it's a great place to come on the weekend, on Saturdays for college football, on Sundays for the NFL. Out here at Wings Etc. We have Jimmy on the line. Let's bring him in next. Hi, Jimmy. Welcome into the huddle.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Carolina Panthers, WTH, man, is all I can say.
Yeah, it was ugly.
I knew their defense was struggling this year, but that was just pathetic. You know, I usually stick with my – I mean, I even watched up to when they made it 52-14. But the thing that really rubbed me the wrong way about the Steelers, they still had Ben Roethlisberger out there. This is a college poll thing where you're trying to run the score for your ranking. I just thought that was – and then he didn't even threw for a touchdown on top of it. I mean, I thought that was classless on Tomlin's part.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I also thought, Jimmy, they left Cam in too long. I would have gotten him out of there a little earlier, too.
Yeah, that's what I said. You know, when they brought him back out there, when it got to be 45 or 52-14, I was like, I wouldn't take the chance of getting Cam injured. And, you know, the way the game started, who would have thought that the final score would have been what it was? Or, you know, I mean, it was just incredibly pathetic. Nobody saw that one coming. Even the experts didn't see that one coming.
Does that change your outlook for the Panthers, though? It's just one game.
No, it still tells me they need to get a running game together because, you know, they started coming after Cam because they knew that the Panthers didn't have a running game. And, you know, another thing is Cam, man, just standing there, man. You know, take off and run. Throw the ball away. He just stood there and took the sacks. And on that one play, he threw the interception for the pick, and that's where – I think when the whole thing started was when he threw that pick six. Just got out of control after that.
Yeah. Big turning point.
Let's hope our Gamecocks play better than that against Florida.
Appreciate it, Jimmy. Thank you. Yeah, I hope so as well. You know, a lot of people are dissing Florida, and that's fine. Diss Florida. They may be overrated, but I don't know, man. That's still a team that beat LSU's. That's what makes me nervous about Florida. I am happy that they really only have one quarterback to go to, and his name is Felipe Franks. So, you know, I kind of like that. Speaking of Florida, Dan Mullen is the new coach of the Florida Gators this year, and, you know, he had them going pretty well for a while. They've kind of come back to earth. But Dan Mulling talking this week about the matchup with the Gamecocks and what he's expected at the noon kickoff tomorrow in Gainesville.
Obviously, a great challenge for us this week. An excellent football team coming in here with South Carolina, a team that's been in a bunch of close games and found ways to win those close games, found ways to battle it out and come out on top in some of these close battles that they've had this year. You got a very talented offense, can put up big numbers. Quarterback, it's a veteran guy with some playmaking wide receivers, very, very physical running backs. You got to get a bunch of guys to the ball to tackle them, to get them on the ground. And then, defensively, obviously, they get a great defensive scheme. Defensive head coach puts them in position to make plays. One of the top red zone defenses in the country that if you do get some yards and move the ball, they're really hard to put points up on the board for. So it's going to be a huge challenge for our guys. We have a lot of our things we got to improve on to get better as a team and continue to grow and play as a team and in all three phases.
All three phases of the game. That's what he's looking for there, Dan Mullen. Well, I think we'll eventually do a good job there at Florida. And I think you got to give him credit for doing a pretty good job this year. They've won some games that people didn't think they would win, but they come into this game at 6-3, 4-3 in the SEC. They'll have a big crowd there tomorrow. That place seats about 88,500. So if it's full and loud, then that will be a little bit of a challenge for the Gamecocks. But, look, they faced a challenge last week on the road and got the win over Ole Miss, 48-44. They were down 10 points in the fourth quarter, and they got the offense going. They had 510 yards last week. I don't think they get 510 against this Gators defense tomorrow, but they won't need that much, and they won't need 48 points either.
Well, early on in the year, you were very realistic, while others of us were not, about what the Gamecocks could do, and I find it great that you're being optimistic. That makes me feel better about it since you're doing so well at the picks and all that kind of stuff. And classically, you do well at the picks, which is sickening.
Yeah.
But I do think that the Gamecocks are going to do well tomorrow, and I think they really got a great shot at beating this Florida team. It's really going to come down to if the defense can step it up for more than one quarter. I mean, they'll have a really good quarter, and then the rest of the game, not so much. If they could do that for two quarters, then they got a really good shot at winning this game.
Well, what helps them with that is this Florida offense is not as explosive by any stretch as the Ole Miss offense from last week. So I think the defense will just look better based on that alone, that the offense
because the
playing.
Offense is worse. Okay.
Yeah. I think you'll be reasonably satisfied with the way the defense looks compared to last week. And people say, hey, look, South Carolina can't go down and beat a ranked Florida team. But it was just a year ago that they played Florida in Columbia and beat them. Jake Bentley had three interceptions in that game, and the Gamecocks still won, 28-20.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do that.
Yeah.
And come out with a victory.
He threw for 249 yards, and he ran for a couple of touchdowns. A.J. Turner had 136 yards rushing. Mon Denson ran for the first two touchdowns of his career. And, by the way, that was South Carolina against this Florida defense, supposed to be pretty good. They had their best offensive yardage total of the season against Florida last year. So there are reasons that you could be optimistic. The last time they played in Gainesville, South Carolina was outgained 372-256, and the Gators won 20-7 back in November of 2016. They had a quarterback back then named Austin Appleby, who passed for 201 yards. Jake Bentley in that game, 18-33 for 213 yards, but they only have 43 yards rushing on 30 attempts. So that was a big problem 2 years ago at the Swamp in Florida for the Gamecocks. They'll need more than 43 yards rushing. And, of course, there's questions about the health. We think their running backs are okay. Tyson Williams was shaken up a bit last week, as was Rico Dowdle. But we think those guys are okay, but they did lose a couple of safeties this past week.
Yeah, when you saw the running backs go down last week, it's like, oh, man, we're in trouble now. So if they're healthy enough, and you got A.J. Turner to throw in there too,
yep.
And, I mean, they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, and again, a big game for the Gamecocks because they've got two games in which they'll be heavily favored with Akron and Chattanooga. And so if they can pull off this close game, expected to be close game with Florida, Then South Carolina has a chance to finish up the regular season 8-4. And, you know, when they were 3-3, man, 8-4, you'd be all over. And it wasn't that long ago.
Oh, definitely. And 8-4 might get you a decent bowl game, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It should get you a very very nice bowl game and, you know, something that fans would be excited about.
Something that doesn't happen somewhere in the middle of December.
Yeah, and something that doesn't happen in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah.
Preferably.
Because who wants to go there?
Don't want to go there. Some of the other games on the agenda for tomorrow, TCU and West Virginia. I'm just checking the lines on these to see if we've had any movement. 11.5, West Virginia favored over TCU. It's kind of sad. Again, I said this yesterday, I think. When West Virginia beats TCU tomorrow, TCU is going to be 4-6, and that's dropping a long way. This was a team that was pretty regularly in the top 10, so kind of a sad year for TCU this year. The Ohio State-Michigan State line is 3.5 for Ohio State. I think that's about where it's been all week. It's at Michigan State. That's a close game, man. Richmond pick Michigan State?
No, we all picked Ohio State.
We all picked Ohio State. Okay.
Yeah, again, it's probably going to be a tight game.
Yep.
I do not trust Ohio State's defense. I'm good with the offense. The defense is just not good.
Yeah, it'll be in East Lansing tomorrow. It's going to be cold up there, 35 degrees, the forecast for game time. Wow.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah, that's true. They're used to it. Navy in Central Florida. I don't think Navy's the team that can burst the bubble of Central Florida because they are 2-7. And Central Florida is favored by 24.5 in that game.
I believe in Navy. I believe in Navy. Come on, Navy. Let's put an end to this. I'm tired of hearing about UCF.
So the South Carolina-Florida line is still 6 in favor of the Gators. And the over-under is 54. I'm just thinking about that. That seems like a lot of points for that game. 54 points. So, you know, if you're looking at 30-24, all right, I'll buy it. 54 is not too bad. I might go with the under on that, though. I don't know. These defenses are not. South Carolina's is still certainly shaky, that's for sure. Wisconsin-Penn State, 9 points. Penn State favored over Wisconsin. I don't know.
Why?
That's a lot. They're both 6-3. They've both been disappointing. Penn State was absolutely destroyed last week. I would take Wisconsin in 9 against Penn State, I think. I know it's at Penn State at Beaver Stadium, but still, I think I would do that.
And Wisconsin's lost to some good teams. So, last week was pretty bad.
Mississippi State, Alabama, and you've got two ranked teams, and the line is 24 points for Alabama. Game is in Tuscaloosa. It is a 3:30 start. So that helps a little bit. It's not a night game there, but Tua's okay. He just got a little groin shot last week, so Nick Saban said he was glad that's what happened to him. Thanks, Coach. But you understand that. He's not hurt, so he should be fine. Michigan is now a 39-point favorite over Rutgers. At Rutgers. In New Jersey.
You know what? That seems a little low to me. It just does. I hate to say it, but it sounds a little low.
Rutgers at 1-8, Michigan at 8-1.
Rutgers are pretty bad.
Yeah, they are. Bedlam, Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma, the Sooners favored by 21. That used to be a good series, but this year it looks like a mismatch. We'll see. You never know. But
of course, it's a rivalry game. Anything could happen in this. It's probably going to go the way that they're saying. But
yeah, Oklahoma State just 5-4 this year.
But would you be completely shocked if Oklahoma State pulled it off?
I'd be shocked. Completely no. You know, look, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma is a good rivalry. But Kyler Murray's not going to let that happen at home. I don't think that happens. If it does, then Justice Hill is going to have a good day running the game, ball for Oklahoma State. Washington State, Coach Mike Leach. I never played it this week, but he was talking about mascots. Did you see any of that?
I did not.
The Colorado Buffalo. But I didn't think he was as funny as he usually was, so I didn't pull it. But you could look it up on YouTube or wherever to see Coach Leach talking about Buffaloes, how the Buffalo is going wherever he wants to go, and the handlers are just being dragged along behind him and stuff like that. Anyway, Washington State is favored by 6 points over Colorado at Colorado tomorrow at 3:30. Kentucky-Tennessee, that'll be in Knoxville at Neyland Stadium. And Kentucky's only favored by 5. This is a ranked team, and this is a fairly mediocre 4-5 Tennessee team. Mediocre might be kind, but only a 5-point line in that game in favor of Kentucky after they got beat by Georgia last week. Northwestern, Iowa, at Iowa, it's an 11-point line in favor of Iowa at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. Iowa State will be at home in Ames at Jack Trice Stadium, and they take on Baylor, and the line on that is 15.5 in favor of Iowa State. Auburn, Georgia, they'll play in Athens. 14-point line, 2-touchdown line in favor of the Georgia Bulldogs. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. There's times, though, that Auburn makes noise late in the season when they've been kind of disappointing. They're 6-3, 3-3 in the ACC. I wouldn't be shocked if Auburn makes that a closer game than 2 touchdowns against Georgia. Florida State and Notre Dame. It's tomorrow night. Again, Notre Dame's quarterback Ian Book not going to play, so that might affect the line. The line's still 16 in favor of the Irish at home tomorrow night at 7:30. Of course, it's Notre Dame, so it's on NBC. LSU will play Arkansas tomorrow night, 7:30 in Fayetteville. 12.5-point line. Does that seem a little low? That's a 2-win Arkansas team.
Yeah, that seems really low.
Well, because LSU doesn't score that many points, so I guess that's what's behind that. But, yeah, I would go all LSU on that one. Texas and Texas Tech, that's going to be played at Lubbock, Jones AT&T Stadium. And that's going to be a start at 7:30, and Texas is favored just by 1.5 points. Remember when Texas looked like they might threaten to make the playoffs? They've had a couple of losses since then, so no dice. Looks like the Clemson line dropped 0.5 points to 19.5. I think it was 20 yesterday.
Why?
Over Boston College, 19.5. No good reason. The weather, 52 degrees. I wonder if this is the current temperature or game time projected temperature. 52 degrees is the temperature they've posted for Clemson-Boston College. That will kick off tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. I think it's going to be colder than that at game time. That must be right now. But anyway, Travis Etienne leading the Tigers, and he is right at 1,000 yards. He has 998 yards rushing for the season. And, of course, A.J. Dillon, the big running back for Boston College, he will have to have a big day if Boston College is going to hang at all with the Clemson Tigers tomorrow night. Alumni Stadium, Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. And I understand quite a few Clemson fans are making this trip. It's right outside Boston. You can go up there and enjoy a little weekend in Boston, and some of them are. We'll see how the fan balance looks tomorrow night at Alumni Stadium for the kickoff at 8 o'clock. And you can hear it on 93.3 The Planet Rocks. And you can hear Ingalls College football today starting at 3 o'clock with Sturgis and whoever. It won't be me.
I think he should go solo. I think he should do. I think he can handle that. I mean, come on.
I don't know. We may have a co-host.
He might disagree with me there. But,
yeah. You know. Anyway, that's coming up as well. All right. 844-477-3776. Healthcare text line 71307. Once again, just got the word in the past hour that Burns' game tonight with Westside has been put off to tomorrow afternoon because of field conditions. 2 o'clock kickoff, 1:30 airtime on ESPN Upstate. Be right back in the huddle. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's Greg McKinney and Lonzo. We are on location in Bowling Springs at Wings Etc., Highway 9. And the rain has let up, and it's looking a little bit brighter out there.
Yeah, it's bright over there to the left.
Yeah.
Maybe the sun will peek through. You never know.
Nice change, but field conditions are still so bad over at Duncan that they've postponed tonight's game until tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock for Burns. And Westside in the playoffs. We had quite a few games played last night and some pretty good ones, but we will have quite a few more played tonight and then some played tomorrow. Last night in 5A playoff action, it was Northwestern over Bowling Springs, 54-35. We had Rick Tate, head coach of the Bulldogs, on in the first hour, and he's optimistic going forward. He's losing some good players, including Storm Duck, who's got the best name in local area of high school football. He is headed to North Carolina to be a Tar Heel. That's pretty cool. And he's got a couple guys going to the Citadel, and so they've got some good seniors leaving Bowling Springs as their season comes to an end, but they also feel like they have a lot returning for next year. Their season ended with Northwestern winning last night. Dorman ended Greenwood's season, and it was over early in that one. 52-0 was the final in favor of Dave Gutshaw and the Cavaliers last night. They will get the winner of Nation Ford and Blythewood next week. In the 4A playoffs last night, had York beating Orangeburg Wilkinson 49-24. Daniel rolled over Eastside, ending the Eagles' season 49-20. So let's see. Daniel, with that win, will advance to play the winner of South Point Walhalla. And big favorite in that certainly would be South Point. In the 3A playoffs, it was Union County over Chesney 56-13. And it was Indian Land over Crescent 29-14. So those two teams, Union County and Indian Land, will meet next week. And the 2A playoff, Southside Christian beats Silver Bluff 35-7. They'll get the winner of 96 in Chesterfield. And Abbeville rolled over Andrew Jackson 54-13. They will get the winner of St. Joe's and North Central in next week's game. So those are the games last night. Lots of games scheduled for tonight. We'll see if any more are postponed. Hannah hosting Spartanburg tonight in the 5A playoffs. We will also have, as we said, Nation Ford and Blythewood. We'll have Rock Hill taking on Lawrence. Gaffney goes to Woodmont tonight. Sumter, Spring Valley is tonight. And then again, Westside Burns postponed until tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock over in Duncan. 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307 here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Got a little scare for Steph Curry in the NBA, a little injury scare for Lonzo's favorite player.
Whatever.
He has an abductor strain, or I guess it's an adductor strain. There's no B in abductor.
Yeah, there's a
That's
difference.
Somebody that kidnapped someone.
Yes, it is.
It's an adductor strain in his left leg for Steph Curry. So, you know, what's that going to mean? He exited the game last night. He did not return. And Steve Kerr said he's going to undergo an MRI today. Curry said, I'm not nervous. Don't have anything to go off of. If this was an ankle, I could tell you 4 days or 12 days, but we'll see tomorrow.
By the way, I just looked it up. An adductor muscle strain is an acute injury to the groin muscle.
Oh, that's a groin issue.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Wow. All right. He says, I've never done this before, so I have nothing to go off of, so he doesn't know how long he'll be out. That happened with about 6:50 to go in the quarter. Curry was trying to contest a move by Bucks guard Eric Bledsoe. Curry stayed in the game a few more minutes, but then checked out and immediately headed to the locker room.
Yeah, that definitely would affect mobility, would affect a shot, too.
Affect your voice, too.
It would, but you wouldn't be able to tell with him.
You wouldn't know the difference with Curry.
No, you wouldn't.
Curry never really got into a rhythm last night. He was 5-for-14 from the field, 10 points in 26 minutes. That was his lowest output of the season. And it's the first time Curry has played more than 20 minutes in a game and not made a three-pointer since February 27th of 2017 against Philadelphia. He was 0-for-4 from behind the arc last night. Warriors were already without two guys last night. Draymond Green with a toe sprain and Sean Livingston with a sore foot did not dress. They think Green might be back for Monday's game against the L.A. Clippers.
So is this the only thing that could possibly take them down is injuries?
Yeah, but not this one. I mean, this is not going to keep them out that long, right?
It's a groin issue, man. You just don't know. Those things are hurt. You can't, like, put a splint on it or something. It just... It takes
no,
time
you can't
to
do
recover.
That. That's you got that right. Golden State has not missed a beat, right? I mean, they looked as good as anybody thought they were. There's some teams that have been a little disappointing to start the year. Some would say that about the Boston Celtics. They're 7-4 now, so they're fine. But you know, maybe a little slower than expected for Boston. But
unfortunately, Golden State looks like they're the Globetrotters out there. They're just laughing, having a great time, and throwing up as much points as they want to.
Yeah, they're 10-2 right now. They won 8 out of their last 10 games. They're scoring 122 points a game. I mean, they're doing everything that Golden State does. I think, you know, if you want to look at something, and I know we're still very, very early, 82-game season, and we're about 12 games in for most teams. So you got 70 games to go. But the number two team in the West – it might be a little bit of a surprise with the Denver Nuggets. That's a good start, 9-2 for the Nuggets. You think the Nuggets hang around for a while?
From what I understand, Denver plays really good defense.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the Lakers beat them for their first loss, if I recall.
Okay.
But, yeah, they play really good defense. which is what you need in the West with all that offense out there.
Yeah, yeah. Portland 9-3, so that's a good start for the Trailblazers. Oklahoma City has gotten hot. Did you realize that Oklahoma City lost their first four and then won seven straight? They're 7-4. They've won seven in a row. So they're playing very well right now. The Spurs 6-4, so no big concerns about them. Memphis, L.A. Clippers, and Sacramento rounding out the top eight. If you want to look at who's disappointing, obviously you point to the Houston Rockets at 4-6 so far. So, you know, they're toward the bottom of the West right now. Utah, 5-6. The L.A. Lakers are now 5-6. So
almost 500, baby.
Maybe the panic was a little premature about the L.A. Lakers, right?
They looked good the other night.
The panic was not premature about the Cleveland Cavaliers.
No, you're right.
They look horrible.
I can't believe I actually thought that they would surprise some people.
No, they look terrible. They are 1-10. 1-10. They've lost their last four and in last place in the East. So you have Toronto at 11-1. Told you they were good. Kawhi Leonard looks like he's comfortable, man. Maybe he stays more than 1 year.
Maybe he does. Maybe he likes Canada.
No, he does, because they're playing really well. They won five in a row.
Maybe he'll like winning the East and then having the best record in the East and then not going to the playoffs.
Well, they'll go to the playoffs. You mean
not going to the NBA finals. Okay. Yes.
The Bucks are 9-2, and they have been playing pretty well, especially at home. Boston Celtics now 7-4, so they're okay. 76ers are 7-5, so okay there. Charlotte Hornets may be a little bit of a surprise, over 500 so far at 6-5, 1-2 in a row there. And then on the other end of things, you know, the Knicks, the Hawks, the Bulls, the Wizards, all subpar, and I don't know that there's any huge surprise amongst any of those in the NBA. I have a hard time paying attention to the NBA in November. Check back in with me in January.
I'm telling you, I thought that it would be a problem for me, but when the Lakers are on TV, I am able to record it. It's so late at night. I just don't look at social media when I get up. I do my cardio. I'm able to watch an entire game in about an hour, and it's perfect. And I am disciplined enough to not look ahead and see if they won or not.
You just don't pick up a phone, right?
I just don't. I just don't do it.
All right.
And it's early enough in the morning when I'm doing my thing that no one messes with me, no one bothers me, so I can get through it, and it's just like I watched it live.
Well, I think LeBron is probably certainly changing late-night NBA viewing habits on the East Coast, right?
For sure, but I wish he would get a little more engaged, because right now he just looks like he's just stepping back and watching everybody else play a bunch. And I know classically he takes some time off, and that's how he's able to keep his body going the way it is at his age. But I think he's trying to see how everybody's playing together still, almost like a coach on the floor, which he may end up being pretty soon. Who knows?
His buddy D. Wade just had a baby. Actually, Gabrielle Union had the baby, his wife. New daughter. They announced that yesterday. Baby was born via a surrogate on Wednesday. First child the couple has had together. The NBA guard has three sons, and the couple is also raising one of his nephews. So they have a lot of kids around the house. But anyway,
I think they can afford it. So
probably so. He said that she's a miracle baby. They did not reveal the baby's name so far. But anyway, congratulations to D. Wade on that.
I wonder how much a surrogate mother makes for somebody with that kind
of money.
You
think it's prorated based on the income of the parents?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And I'm sure they're really picky, which they can choose to be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome that they're able to have a child however they're able to have it.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Congratulations to him. I don't know the answer. That's not part of the story. We don't get the price that was paid here.
I'm sorry. I just have weird questions.
Well, you know, it's fair. You know, somebody that's just an average Joe making $30,000 or $50,000 a year would probably pay a little less than D. Wade.
Yeah, more than likely. The thing, it's just not a normal thing that you hear about. So I would guess there would be pay involved. I don't think she'd go, yeah, I'll do it.
You're probably right about that. 844-477-3776, healthcare text line 71307. Break time. Back with more live at Wings Etc. Highway 9 in Bowling Springs. Greg McKinney and Lonzo. Matt Hogan producing back at the studio. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. The rain has let up. The clouds still around. It's Friday afternoon, and we are happy to be in Boiling Springs at Wings Etc. Greg McKinney and Lonzo out here on the back deck, on the porch, if you will. And we appreciate that Scott and the folks at Wings Etc. have had us out here again. Third time this football season we've been over here. They're big supporters of high school football over here at Wings Etc. Unfortunately, their local team here in Boiling Springs had the season end last night with a 54-35 loss to Northwestern over in Rock Hill last night, but put up a good fight. It was a very productive offensive game, certainly, and hats off to the Boiling Springs seniors who wrapped up their careers last night with that loss in the playoffs to Boiling Springs. Once again, in case you missed our news about our Burns Rebels broadcast, Burns, you know, initially this morning said, yep, they're going to try to play tonight. The rain was supposed to be ending this afternoon, and indeed it seems to have tapered off now and hopefully is done. But field conditions over at Nixon Field have required that they're going to put that game off until tomorrow afternoon. It's supposed to be a nice day tomorrow, so they'll get a little drying done at least before kickoff at 2 o'clock tomorrow for Burns and Westside at Nixon Field. And that means we'll be on the air tomorrow at 1:30 here on ESPN Upstate. Tonight, we will be able to bring you college basketball on ESPN Upstate. Clemson Tigers with their second game of the year. They'll take on North Carolina Central. North Carolina Central has not played yet. 0-0 on the season. Lavelle Moulton is their coach. He's in his 10th season. Clemson has now won 34 straight season openers after their win over the Citadel 100-80 earlier this week on Tuesday. The Tigers scored 100 points and posted six double-digit scores for the first time since 2009 in that game over the Citadel. They are 1-0 against North Carolina Central. The lone meeting came in 2015-2016. Clemson won that game 74-40. Marquise Reed posted the 24th triple leadership against the Citadel. He had the lead in points, rebounds, and assists. And he also had four steals in the game. So it was a nice performance by the Tigers on Tuesday to go to 1-0. And they'll match up with North Carolina Central. I was just looking at the size matchups, and you might think Clemson will have a lot of a big size advantage, but not so much. North Carolina Central has a 6'9 center and a 6'8 forward, and then they play a three-guard offense. And, of course, Clemson at center with Elijah Thomas at 6'9, and their front line 6'8 and 6'7 with Scara and Amir Sims. The Clemson Tigers, this will be their second game. And then after this, they get Sam Houston State next Wednesday. On the 19th, it's Akron, and then they'll get into Georgia, Illinois State, and move forward from there. ACC play for the Tigers still a ways off. It opens up at Duke on January 5th. And, of course, another big game coming up right before Christmas for the Tigers at South Carolina on December 22nd. That's already scheduled for ESPN2, by the way, a 2 o'clock tip for the Tigers and the Gamecocks. As for South Carolina, they continue play tonight. Colonial Life Arena, they will host Stony Brook, a matchup part of the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame tip-off tournament, and is set for a 7 p.m. tip-off tonight. South Carolina hosting a pair of matchups in Columbia, part of that tip-off tournament. Rookie forward Keyshawn Bryant was really impressive for the Gamecocks in the opener over USC Upstate earlier this week. 21 points and 7 rebounds. He had an assist and a block in 21 minutes of action. Chris Silva, of course, the leading returner for the Gamecocks, the 16th double-double of his career, 13 points, 11 rebounds against Upstate. His fourth consecutive game with a double-double dating back into last season. Of course, Chris Silva, preseason All-SEC first team by the media and the coaches. He's on the Karl Malone Award preseason watch list, the Naismith Trophy watch list, and the Wooden Award preseason top 50 watch list. So, yeah, we'll see. South Carolina, you got to get used to some new names there, and Keyshawn Bryant is one that some people are getting excited about, I think, the way he looked in that game earlier this week. So we'll keep an eye on the Gamecocks. And if they get the win tonight over Stony Brook, as expected, they would start the season 2-0 for the fourth straight year. And they would be 15-1 in home non-conference contests that date back to the start of the 2016-2017 season. So Clemson basketball tonight here on ESPN Upstate, and Burns football tomorrow afternoon against Westside. All right, we will take a break and come back with more. Wrap up hour number two here in the huddle live at Wings Etc. Highway 9 in Boiling Springs. Out here for another hour, so come by and say hello, spin the prize wheel, win some prizes, and have a late lunch with us here in the huddle in Boiling Springs at Wings Etc. Back in a moment, ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. Hanging out in Bowling Springs today, it's the huddle. Greg McKinney and Lonzo with you till 4 o'clock. Straight up with Sturge at 4 o'clock. Clemson basketball, Clemson North Carolina Central at 6:30 tonight. And again, our high school football broadcast, which was going to move down the dial to 106.3 WORD, has been postponed. Burns and Westside will play tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. So we'll be on the air back here on ESPN Upstate tomorrow for some Saturday afternoon prep football action, 1:30 airtime. Tomorrow, 2 o'clock kickoff in Nixon Field for the Burns Rebels and the Westside Rams in the first round of the 5A Upper State playoffs. All right, Lonzo, I hope you didn't see this tweet because I'm going to ask you a question here.
Oh, boy.
You get these, I always hate these, but I can't resist talking about them when they come out. These matchups, these theoretical matchups between the best college team and the worst pro team. So we have one of those from the NFL here. We have a Westgate Las Vegas Superbook line on a neutral field matchup between Alabama and the Buffalo Bills. You haven't seen it, have you?
I have not.
What would you say the line would be, according to Vegas, on a neutral field between the dominant number one college team, the Crimson Tide of Nick Saban and Alabama, against the Buffalo Bills? Are the Bills bad enough to be doing a line like this? They're not historically bad.
No, they're not.
So,
and I will first say that there is no college team that can beat an NFL team. I don't care how many comparisons they do with this. The NFL, even the guys on the bench, are the best of the best.
Right.
It's a pyramid, you know, and the point, the pinnacle, the top of the pyramid are all the guys in the NFL. So
you're going to pick the Bills.
I'm going to pick the Bills, and I'm going to say the Bills by 7.
That's not much, man. That's not much. No. 28.5.
Bills by 28.5?
Bills by 28.5 on a neutral field against Alabama, according to Westgate Las Vegas.
I also want to point out that 7 was not a guess from me. That's what I thought Vegas would pick, because I would have picked higher. So
yeah, I mean, they're deep at every position. You've got pros at every position. Alabama has pros at a lot of positions, but not every position. And so it's just a goofy thing to do. I'm almost sorry I brought it up, but I can't resist it. When you see that, because, I think a lot of people, we probably should have done a Twitter poll and said, what would you say, Alabama versus the Buffalo Bills? And I would guess that close to half of the people would say, yeah, Bama wins that, man. Alabama, they're dominant, man. Buffalo sucks. Alabama would win that, man. But no, 28.5.
You know, if it wasn't the case that any NFL team, no matter how bad they are, could beat the best NFL team on any given day. I mean – because
yeah, with a parity, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Buffalo, what'd they do earlier this year? They beat the Vikings, right?
Right.
Yeah. And blew them out. So, you know.
Yeah, it was a big-time victory for them over them. So, I'm sorry. I love that people actually entertain the thought that that would be a game. Now, the question is, could Alabama score some points?
Yeah, this doesn't address that. Just says 28.5, but I would assume – I mean, with Tua against the Buffalo defense, I would assume that, I would probably pick them to score, yeah, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I really don't.
Yeah. I mean, if they could protect the quarterback against the NFL linemen, you know, that would be probably the key right there.
And again, think about it. The one or two best linemen on each team are on one team. I mean, the best guys are on one team. And even the worst line in football, in NFL, would be able to handle a defensive front for a college team. They just would.
Yeah. Yeah. 28.5. Neutral field, Buffalo will be favored over Alabama. All right, here's another crazy thing. Odell Beckham Jr., he's crazy. He said he has a goal for the New York Giants. Win 8 straight, get to the playoffs.
It's good to have goals, man. I have some goals in life that I'll never attain either. So
I love that. Yep, he said 9-7, go to the playoffs. That's what we're going to do. They're 1-8.
But see, after what we just said about the NFL, it's conceivably possible. It's not going to happen, but there is a possibility that it could.
Yeah. Giants coming off their bye week. They play the 49ers, so it could be one in a row, right? That could very easily happen.
I don't know. Eli's still the quarterback.
Beckham knows the Giants must play better. He says it begins with performing better in the red zone, scoring more points. The Giants are 27th in the NFL, averaging 18.8 points per game. That's pretty low for
an
NFL
but they're
team.
Not last.
No. That's true. He says he believes this turnaround can happen, and he points to Kevin Garnett, the NBA player, who actually played at Malden High School for a while. He said, it's not impossible to win 8 games. It wasn't impossible to lose 7. Anything can happen. The main focus is just this one game. Kevin Garnett famously said anything is possible when he won. Treat this game like it's your last game of the season, so says OBJ. Giants are in last place in the NFC East, tied for the worst record in the NFL. Yes, it would be a big upset if they turned it around. They are 4-20 over the past 2 seasons. He says it's easy to sit up here and say we want to win 8 games. We have to keep working, knowing that's tough to do. We have to pull it all together right now. He has actually had a pretty darn good year, 61 catches. 785 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's a pretty good half a year, isn't it?
It's
very
not bad.
Good. Yeah. He says he's always gotten stronger as the season goes on. Of his 35 touchdowns between 2014 and 2016, 23 of those came in the second half of seasons. He didn't play the second half in 2017, had a broken ankle. He says he's in better shape this year after rehabbing vigorously late last year and into the off season. So he says as the season goes on, I get stronger, and that's what he's planning on doing. And he believes, Odell Beckham Jr. believes the Giants can turn it around, win a bunch of games, and go to the playoffs. Good luck, Odell. I wish I could believe the way you do, but I like that. I like the optimism. That's what you're supposed to do. Back on the other side, we will hear from Steve Adazio, the coach of Boston College, ahead of his matchup with the Clemson Tigers. Also, Cam Newton after that poor Panthers performance last night in Thursday Night Football. All ahead in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Stay with us.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.